start with jobs. As we look into jobs, what kinds of jobs would you like to see created in your district?
Well, it's a good question. Clearly, what has to be done in Illinois, we have to create an incentive. We have to create a pathway for innovation and technology-related jobs, whether that's in business, whether that's in healthcare. If we're going to really expand, we need to really look at what is going to work. And I think if we work with our colleges, if we work with our business community, we can invest in those areas, whether it's healthcare or cutting-edge technology, manufacturing, the kind of thing that we can compete worldwide in the future. There's really no reason why Illinois can't be the best place in the country to work if we keep our focus on the prize, which is, again, creating the best and the highest paying jobs that are available.
And you did mention using colleges, university, higher education to that end. What role should the state government play in creating those jobs, technology, manufacturing, et cetera?
Well, state government should play very little role. In most cases, it is better that government get out of the way and allow free enterprise to take over. In this case, the only role I would see the state doing is saying to the private industry and colleges, you partner, and they can help with some grants, for example. But other than that, it's really letting those organizations that do what they best, that know how to do best, let them do that and let government get out of the way. Because government just has a way of delaying it, regulating it, telling people why they can't do things. And the universities are geared towards being innovative, getting something out as quickly as possible, just like the business world is. So again, I think it's best that we link those up, whether it's healthcare, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's technology. Let's move forward and partner as quickly as we can and deal with the top end. One of the frustrations that have been in Illinois is when it comes to education, we continue to spend more and more money on the bottom half of our population and less on the top half. And that's not how you build a long-term successful future.
When we talk about role, I'm also thinking financial role. Are you then saying the state should kind of stay out of that area too?
Again, that's where it depends on how it works. Clearly, when universities or businesses are involved in new technology, are involved in growth ideas, they have the resources to do some of those things. The state's role is mainly to make sure that they're not interfering, that they create that path where that kind of technology can move forward. One of the things that holds back Illinois so much is that we have a regulatory environment that is stricter than any other state. And that makes it difficult for new startup companies to get going. It makes it difficult for partnerships to get going. So what we need to do as a state is to reduce those regulatory environments, things that make it difficult for technology and business and healthcare to move forward. So I see the state's role as more as creating that path and then getting out of the way and allowing the experts in the university settings, in the private sector, in the healthcare sector, let them take the lead in creating the next generation of high-tech, good-paying jobs.
I want to talk more about education, go into more specifics. What direction should the state follow to support K-12 education?
There's a number of key areas. Certainly one, as we just touched on, we cannot continue to abandon higher education when it comes to the gifted programs, when it comes to programs that work in the area of technology and in the areas of dealing with those people who are going into manual labor type work. So there's two areas that we have to do. Most importantly, all that falls under career readiness issues. As a state, as I said earlier, we continue to put more and more dollars on programs that deal with behavior disorders, deal with the bottom half of the class, and we are spending less and less on the top half. As a state, I think we're spending less on gifted programs today than any time in history. That's a mistake, because I can tell you in other countries, their priorities are putting money into gifted programs. And we have to compete with countries like China and India and others that are putting enormous amount of dollars in gifted programs. And so as a state, we need to understand, put the politics of it aside, and say, what is going to lead us to that goal of having the latest technologies available to create the jobs that all these students can work in? And so first, high technology, gifted programs need to be a top priority. Second, of course, we need to continue to work with our schools to produce students that are qualified and ready to graduate. And that means, that could mean longer school days or longer school years to make sure that our students, when they graduate, they're prepared to compete in a very competitive, difficult world that we live in today.
What should the state do about the educational administrative and support structure in Illinois? Kind of getting to the idea of the role of superintendents, regional superintendents.
The superintendent's role is one that became controversial this year when the governor decided not to fund that anymore and shift that cost to the local taxpayers. That's an irresponsible way to deal with a problem. The state of Illinois cannot say that it's trying to fix its financial problem by just shifting the cost of those problems to a local government. That's not really addressing the issue. If we really want to address the issue, for example, of the regional superintendents of schools, then we need to look at what are the services being delivered by the regions, and can that service be delivered in a different way or in a more cost-effective way? And if the answer is yes, who is best to do that? And or if it's not, then where is the funding best to come from? And those are questions that were never asked. The governor just said, we're not going to fund this anymore. We're going to make locals do it. And he never asked the core principal questions. What are the services they do? Can they be done by somebody else? Can they be done more cost effectively? And is it done better at the state level or the local level? And those kinds of questions should be asked for each and every single program in Illinois before we make a decision of if they're going to be funded and continued and who's going to do them.
What do you see as the state's role in funding public education, higher education, college level, and beyond?
Well, funding higher education is crucial. Again, if Illinois is going to be the state that is going to create the best and the brightest students, if we want our state to be known as a state that creates the latest technologies, whether it's in healthcare or technology or in computers, whatever that is, if Illinois wants to be known for that, then we have to have the gifted workforce for that. And that means funding of our higher education system. As a state, unfortunately, we are spending less in real dollars funding higher education than we did 10 years ago. No other state is doing that. We have asked our universities today to spend less money in real dollars than they did 10 years ago to do the same amount of education and at the same or more, and yet have less resources. And the end result is again, cutting-edge key programs that the university should be running are the ones that get cut. So I strongly believe that funding of higher education is a top priority for our state, because that's what's going to kick out the leaders of tomorrow.
How should the state help people pursuing college degrees? We heard in the State of the Union and the State of the State address getting up tuition rates. How can the state, or how should the state help?
Well, a couple areas. In Illinois, tuition has been rising by over 10% a year. For many families, higher education is just plain unaffordable. And that is caused in part because the state has not been doing its job in funding higher education. So the colleges have no other choice but to cost shift that on then to the students. So part of that blame has to go to the state for not doing its job. Second, we have to figure out how else can we deliver the quality education but also keep those costs down. And it's a difficult task. We need to make sure that students who want to go to college have the availability to do that. Now, in Illinois, we do have some options that are available. One of those is choosing to go to the community college for first 2 years and get your core classes out of the way, and then transfer to universities and completing your third and fourth year. That's another option that can be looked at. So there are solutions. The goal is to say that anyone who really wants to get a degree should be able to get that done. And that may mean being a little creative, but if they sit down and work with their college, you can come up with a plan that can work. And that, again, that might end up being a community college first. That might mean going part-time to begin with. But there is a path that you can take if you have a goal or desire to get through school.
We're going to change topics to health insurance, and wondering, what is your position on creating health insurance exchanges in preparation for health care reform?
Well, I serve on the health exchange task force that was created, and also serve as the ranking member on the Health and Human Service Committee in Springfield. So I've dealt with this issue for many, many years. I have grave concerns about the system that they're talking about implementing. We currently have a system in place that works well for 95% of the people in this state. It is a seamless system that allows you to move from employer to employer and maintain your same coverage with covering pre-existing conditions. We have a system in place that says that if you lose your coverage, there is a fallback program through the Illinois Comprehensive Health Plan that takes care of that. The problem we have in Illinois is there's a small segment of the population where affordability and availability becomes a problem, and that's what we should have be addressing. Instead, they're looking at doing this overall sweeping change. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in the end, what will change in Congress this year, or what will happen with the election. So it's kind of hard to determine. But Illinois is moving forward with a phase one of implementing some of those rules of beginning to look at setting up a navigator system. And it is something that, again, there'll be a number of hearings on. We're working with the industry, with healthcare providers, the governor's office, to see if there's some common ground as we move forward at setting that up.
Now on pension reform, should Illinois pursue a court test of changing current pensions? Why or why not?
Well, our pension system is clearly the biggest problem facing Illinois. It is a systemic problem that affects everybody, not just those who are currently retired, who have the concern that the system will even be there for them. Existing employees have concerns whether or not the program will be there for them. And the taxpayers are concerned because it is growing at a rate significantly faster than the rate of inflation. And so it's becoming unsustainable. So tough decisions have to be made to make this system work. This idea of burying your head in the sand or putting off the solution makes it more and more difficult to solve. So we have to address it, and it's going to involve some pain to get it through from everybody. If we do, we can get it resolved once and for all. Every year we wait, that pain is going to become harder and harder. What is that ultimate solution? I think that comes from everybody sitting down and agreeing that they're all going to take some pain and then working through it. But in the end, it's going to have to involve increased contributions. It's going to have to involve some changing in benefits. And it's going to have to involve the state fulfilling its obligation and then funding its portion of it. All three have to be part of that solution if we're going to get this thing passed.
To follow up on that, should there be a split system with existing employees at one level and new employees at another?
Yes, there has to be a split system, the two-tiered system. And that's one way of trying to avoid a lengthy court challenge, which, again, delays putting off the solution. And we did pass that two-tiered system 2 years ago, which stated that new government employees being hired will have to work longer and will receive still a lesser benefit. But we also have to understand that these new people coming into the system are going to earn significantly higher salaries. They are going to be living significantly longer. So while they may have a reduced benefit as a percentage, they will clearly be receiving more dollars than those in the old system would have received. It is one way to help keep that system solvent, because the system was never created and is not actuarially sound for people to work for 30 years and then retire for 40 years. The math just doesn't work, and you don't have to be an actuary to understand that kind of math can't work. That's why there has to be a change in that system.
We're going to move to domestic energy. What involvement should Illinois have in addressing domestic energy policy?
Well, Illinois plays a significant role in that. We deal with whether it's wind, whether it's solar, whether it's coal production, or even oil production. Illinois is in the center of the country. We are a large consumer and a large producer of energy options. What we have to do as a state, again, is to look to see, is there a difference between what is politically correct and what is really the most cost effective? Can we afford to continue to put up wind farms that are costly to the state, that are costly to the consumers? Because under our legislation, when we put up wind farms, we force the energy companies to buy that wind energy, but they have to buy it at a much higher rate than what the utility companies can currently purchase it for. That means the consumer ends up paying a higher electric rate because of that. Solar, the same way. Solar is significantly more expensive. When we force utility companies to buy solar, that means they're buying it at a higher cost, passing that higher cost on to you and I, who are consumers. That is a problem. Now, maybe as technology changes, we'll see the next phase of wind or solar that can become more competitive. But as of right now, I think those are a big concern. On the good news side, one of the bills we worked on that I was proud of that we passed, that the voters now will have a chance to vote on, is aggregation. On the March 20th ballot, voters will have a chance to vote to allow their community to purchase electricity by bulk. And what that end result is going to mean is you're going to get the same ComEd bill like you've always gotten, but it's going to be about 20 to 25% lower than what it is currently. That's a $300 or $400 a year savings per family, all because we're allowing a community to pool together and make purchases at a bulk discount. That's going to be the biggest impact to energy users this year, and that is good news. Again, that's March 20th when you're going to vote in the primary. You get a chance to vote in support of aggregation or allowing your community to bulk purchase energy. That is, again, good news that's coming up for now. So that's the one thing people will see soon. The rest we'll continue to be working on is what's the best way to deliver the next generation of energy.
We're going to go to labor management relations. What's your position on right-to-work laws?
Well, Illinois is not a right-to-work state. It's not going to be a right-to-work state. And I think our best focus needs to be on how do we improve the cost of labor in Illinois, which is not just made up as part of a salary, but it's the whole cost involved in making a widget. And that means when a company is looking to do business, they look at the labor cost, they look at workers' compensation, they look at unemployment, they look at medical liability, and they look at the regulatory environment. All that adds to the cost of doing business. And if it's too high, which it is in Illinois, companies choose to go to other states. We need to address all of those issues, not just make it a labor versus a management issue. I think there is some safeguards or some programs that can be done that can improve both of those. I'm in a unique position of being endorsed by both sides. I've got every business group, the Chamber of Commerce, the NFIB, the manufacturers, the Tooling and Die Association is supporting me, but also the building trades. And it's interesting that both sides do that, but I think they know what I've tried to do is say, where's common ground where both can give, where we can stay competitive, where we can keep companies here? And that should be our focus, as opposed to lightning rod issues like right to work that won't pass in Illinois. And so why bring that up? Instead, we should be concentrating on those things that we can do that can improve the work condition, improve where there can be partnerships between the two.
One more on that heading. What should the relationship be between governments and their employee unions?
Well, that's a good question, what the relationship should be. I think first and foremost, we need to understand that people who work in government are servants of the people, and my fear is that we have creating in government, whether it's from elected officials or some bureaucracies, that we create almost this caste system where we have high-paid government officials and staff and with their pensions and their benefits, and then we have all the working poor down here, and it's you actually see almost like a caste system developing, and that's not what it was meant to be. You know, people in government are supposed to be servants of the people, and I think we need to get back to that kind of a service industry is what government should do, especially when it comes to elected officials. I think the biggest change we could do in Illinois, if we wanted to change government, is to make every elected official in Springfield go home and get a job. We have too many career politicians and not enough citizen legislators. Citizen legislators founded this country. Those are the ones who went to Washington and Springfield. They passed laws and they came home and they lived and worked among the people. Now we have career full-time politicians that do whatever it takes to get elected. And there's a disconnect that happens between those elected officials and the people. And that needs to change. So I think if we move back towards citizen legislators, which I'm one of those, if we do that, you can start building a better relationship, not just with the public, but I think you have a better relationship from the leaders and the state employees, because then they know that these leaders are citizen legislators and that they're working on behalf of the people who elected them.
How far should the government go in dealing with abortion rights?
Well, again, a very difficult question in the fact that regardless of where people feel on this issue, the issue has been decided at the federal level. It's decided at the court level. And so there's very little role that states can play in this area. The only areas that I think the states can play a role in is one, making sure that that clinics that have that produce and have abortions that they are held to the same safe standards as any other surgical type centers would be, that individuals who are going to have an abortion should have the confidence and security that they're going to a facility that is going to be as safe as if they were going to get a tonsillectomy done. So that's something that the state has some control over. The states can have some control over funding of abortions, and that's something that I'm not a proponent of. There are many grant programs out there. There are private sector programs that can help. But something that's this controversial is not something that the state should be funding, especially when we have so many other pressing financial health care needs in Illinois. Other than that, the issue is really will continue to be a federal issue and a judicial issue and not something that's going to be at the state level.
What direction should the state then follow regarding rights for same-sex couples?
Well, that's, again, depending on what the laws allow, some states will allow the ability of domestic partners. Some will allow for marriage. Some have caveats in that saying it's going to be legally binding as much as it would if it was a marriage. And that means, again, the whole change when it comes to benefits comes into play. And in Illinois, it did create a significant cost when the governor implemented domestic partner coverage in the state. We ended with a large number of people joining health plans of state employees. That became a significant cost to the state. And then it came down to the concerns over how you even define domestic partner. And so there's a lot of questions that are still lingering out there, a lot of challenges that are out there. But it is something that on that issue, I think the states should have rights to determine how far they want to go, and that should be done on a state-by-state basis.
On the economy, what do you see as the best approach for reducing the state debt?
Well, that answer is, I think, really is maybe the simplest one, because the answer is simple. It's just trying to implement it. That is the hard part. To do that, we have to do a couple things. Number one, we have to get government spending under control. We have to get our debt under control. When you have the worst financial debt in the country, that is something that gets talked about across the country in national magazines. So when you get corporations looking, do we come into Illinois or not come into Illinois? That's one of the things that they look at. So number one, we have to get our debt under control. Number two, we have to create a pro-jobs environment in Illinois. That means addressing those core issues that are keeping Illinois from being a pro-jobs state. Workers' compensation, unemployment, our regulatory environment, our litigation. These things we have to address. If we do those things, we can reduce the cost of making a widget. We can make Illinois more competitive. When you look at the fact that Indiana takes more of Illinois jobs than China does, it tells us it's strictly because of the cost of doing business. These are all issues that we can fix, and if we do, we can grow quickly out of that. And then, as I mentioned previously, we need to then create an environment and a pathway to promote innovation and cutting-edge technology, both in business and in healthcare. That's where we work with colleges and business communities to make sure that we have the latest and the greatest technological advancements available. That builds for a safe future in Illinois. If we do those steps, Illinois can be, and there's no reason why Illinois shouldn't be, the best state in the country to do business. When we see how quickly Indiana turned around, if we can make some of these changes, Illinois can turn around just as quickly, and we can have the economic growth like we've had in the past, and it is doable.
At this point, what sets you apart as the best choice for the nomination? At this time also, you can touch on other issues you see as important to the district and to the state.
Well, I think we have two choices in life. We can either accept the conditions as they are, or we can accept responsibility to change them. I'm a businessman. I'm a citizen legislator. I come into the Senate with not just a me too, not just to go along. I come with a background saying we can grow out of the economic mess that we're in, that we need to be taking a business approach when it comes to balancing our budget and creating jobs. I believe in smaller, simpler, and smarter government. I believe we don't have to take a hatchet approach to budgets. Instead, we can go in there and say, instead of cutting all these programs, why don't we go in there and say, how can we deliver these services more cost-effectively without having to eliminate those programs? That can be done. I think if people look at my record, they'll see that I have tried to be aggressive when it comes to representing our community. I also I think it's important that we do have more citizen legislators. The problem with career politicians is many times they'll do whatever it takes to keep that job as opposed to doing what is best for their community. And so I think being as a citizen legislator, I come at it at a unique approach of saying, what can we do to put DeKalb and Boone and Winnebago County back to work? And that's what I'm committed to do.